Affectionately welcome you to this Compassion Tuesday. We will be practicing today something which we will call building compassion. As we know, sometimes when we are engaged with the tyranny of the 1,000 urgent things, we lose connection with this feeling of compassion. We become so much involved in our own tasks, in the challenges which we have to stand up against, in all these many, many, many things, that it is not possible for us to think of others, at least not with a feeling of compassion or caring for them. I also want to say, before I go right into this building of compassion, where we discuss how to really become strong inside, resilient, and able to wish good for others. Before I start, I want to say that this is the last Compassion Tuesday. We will have a summer pause because we will start traveling, and I know that many of you will be busy during this time, being outside for different reasons. So we will resume Compassion Tuesday online in September. However, and this is very important for me to say, I request you to keep up your Compassion Tuesday. Reserve this day out of a week in order to really wish well for others, train, or let us say build your compassion muscle, so that in your daily life you can be more compassionate. I will, wherever I am in this summer, definitely sit down at 8 o'clock on Tuesday and pray, send good wishes, and engage with the subject of compassion in, you know, becoming more aware how important it is in my life and how I could apply the teachings which we have had so far in my own life. Good. This is the last session in a series of altogether 3 sessions. They are all called Building Compassion. This is part 3. The definition of compassion which I would like to give here is realizing the interconnectedness of all beings. The other person is not really a stranger to me, a foreigner whose life is of no concern to me. No, we are all parts of the Supreme, all parts of Krishna, as I would say in my Vaishnava way. And we should be willing to see the interconnectedness and then look at someone with empathy, especially on those who are suffering and doing something about it. So compassion has 3 parts. I see the interconnectedness, I'm willing to see the suffering of another, and I'm more than willing to do whatever is in my power to help avoid the suffering. And now, ironically, if not strangely, compassion towards others is also very good for the individual who is compassionate. In Stanford University, there is one department where compassion and its effect is researched, and they found out if someone acts intentionally out of compassion, they will be taken out of the threat mode, and it puts them into a peaceful, it's all right, or rest mode. See, in life there are so many challenging situations, and unfortunately some of these challenges are put by other human beings in front of us. We feel threatened at that time. Oh, this person might act against my self-interest. This person might want to take over my place and push me out. This person is not well-intentioned towards me. And we feel threatened, which is not a very healthy way to live. But if you then find a switch and think, what is going on in the life and in the mind of the other person, you are no longer threatened by them. You understand, like a father understands the motivation of his child just by looking at the child. You understand all of a sudden, aha, this is what they are going through. This is what challenges them. Good, good. And you are, by doing this, you're moving out of the being threatened mode or threatening another person. This in itself, there's a lot of research about on this. It boosts your own immune system, it decreases blood pressure, and the length of your thalamus, it's a gland up here, increases over time. What this means is your vagus nerve, which steers all the organs, is enhanced, it is enriched, it's strengthened, and also, believe it or not, you will have a better digestion. As you see, I'm smiling a little bit about this, because the very idea of compassion is to not ask the question, what is good for me, but to ask the question, what is good for the other person. But I'm just mentioning these side effects or side benefits, so that that part in you which is still hesitating whether or not they should be compassionate towards others feels encouraged. You change by getting into this compassion mode. You shift your awareness, your consciousness, and you look with new eyes, fresh into the situation, and discover very, very good things. Anyways, let us not stay too long with this. There is something which I would like to discuss today, though. It is self-compassion. When we are weak, when we feel threatened and challenged and overwhelmed at times, it's not at all possible for us to be compassionate. We are cornered, so to say, by life, and we are only left with the survival instinct. I have to go through this somehow or other, we think. I have seen many people who try to be compassionate become exhausted and suffering from what we could call compassion fatigue. Therefore, it is today in this last session very important for me to talk about self-compassion. We are so often at war with ourselves because we see our inner problems, which we often call our inner demons. In order to become compassionate, or more precisely self-compassionate, you learn to sit with yourself. You have to learn to sit with yourself and accept you just the way you are. At that time, you should talk to yourself almost like a parent would talk to their child, or a good friend would talk to another friend who is in trouble, and give yourself advices or support. When we see that we are weak in one way or another, it is good if we do a little self-compassion at that time. We talk to each other, but we need to really start by first of all understanding what is going on inside, what makes me so restless and so anxious, and we need to see what we are exactly going through. At that time, we need to also know that we are most probably our own worst enemy. We talk to each other with a self-deprecating way. Oh, you're not good, you are weak. We see that everything around us is negative and there is no hope. No, talk to yourself and don't stress so much the mistakes which you did. You already know that. But talk about the opportunities which you still have. The opportunities which are standing right before your door, and help yourself to see what you can do now. I want to repeat it. Do it just as if you would talk to to someone who needs your support, someone who needs your empathy. The only point here is that now it's you who sits on the other end of the table. It's you who you talk to support and boost yourself. There's something which I have heard is very effective. It is the touch, the human touch. Isn't it that we sometimes help another person who's really sobbing and crying by just either putting our hands on their shoulders or by patting them on the shoulder or by just embracing our friend? And isn't it that the human touch often speaks more or tells more, gives more support than many words? So when you talk to yourself in order to build yourself up, you can either hold your hands on your heart, I would say this is the female version, or you can hold your fist on your heart, that's more the male version, or you can do what I do, just pat yourself like this on the knee and say, gather your bits again, it's not so bad, move on with strength. So the human touch has amazingly a very direct access to the human heart. That's when spiritualists see each other, they often are found embracing each other after a long time of separation, or patting each other on the shoulder because of the strength of the human touch to shift emotions. So in our little meditation which we will start now, we will add self-compassion to our meditation, and we hope it will give you an idea what you can do yourself. We will start now. I request you to find a good place to sit if you're not already doing so. Sit comfortably in an upright position. Let your hands rest on your knees. And when you are ready, close your eyes. Bring your awareness to your feet and then up to your knees and your hips, and relax. Move your awareness up your spine, back. This can help you to sit a little bit more straight, but then relax. Bring your awareness to your abdomen, your belly, and your chest. Shoulders and down to your elbows, bows and palms of your hand, and relax. the shoulders where a lot of tension is. Just relax a little bit more. Go to your neck, the back of your head, top of your head, and relax. Now move with your awareness to the forehead, to the eye sockets, the eyes. Relax. Bring your awareness to the rest of your face, the cheeks, the jaws, the inside of the mouth, and relax. Notice how your entire body is relaxed now. And how you are simultaneously very alert. The body is relaxed. The mind is peaceful, awake, alert. Now focus on your in and outgoing breath. There's no need to change anything in the breathing pattern. Just notice how the air comes into your nostrils when you inhale. And notice how the air leaves through your nostrils whenever you exhale. Let's do a few conscious breaths through our nostrils. Now imagine that on an inhale you breathe into the heart space. The space where your heart sits expands on each inhale. Whenever you exhale, it relaxes. It is here where the eternal self, the soul, resides. It is of the nature of boundless bliss and compassion or love. Whenever you breathe into the space. And from this space, send compassionate feelings to yourself and then to others. Just like me, the people of this world are seeking happiness. I am trying to avoid suffering. I have seen sadness, loneliness, confusion. It is my wish that the suffering in my life stops, and also that the suffering in the life of others stop. It is my wish and my prayer that my own sadness, loneliness, and confusion goes, and also that the sadness, loneliness, and confusion goes in the life of others. Remain in this space and try to send good wishes to both yourself and to all others. Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us, I also love myself because I'm inclined to bhakti, and I will love all others because we are all parts, all small parts of that loving being, Supreme Lord. Sit for a while with this consciousness, and then we will engage in a wonderful kirtan.
Hare Hare. Hare Hare.
everything in our lives starts with the right thought. There is a very, very often quoted statement which I heard in many, many contexts, but I will read to you what the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu says about this. In his words, I will quote this often quoted statement. From good thoughts come good action. From good actions come good habits. From good habits come a good character. And from a good character comes a very good destination in life. So please continue cultivating compassionate thoughts. I will repeat what I said in the beginning. We will now make a summer pause as far as the online presentations are concerned, but obviously we won't make a pause in compassion. Each Tuesday I will personally continue with prayers, meditations for the welfare of others, and I can suggest only that try to also keep the good thoughts open, because good thoughts bring good actions, those bring good habits, and the good habits bring a fantastic elevating destination in your life. There is another thing I would like to leave you with. Many years ago, I was given a quotation from the Dalai Lama, how he starts his day. And I thought it was good, very good, to start with such affirmations. And then I made my own affirmations. I put them down on a piece of paper. It is these affirmations in the beginning of the day that will help you to be a more compassionate person. I will read this to you. Today I'm grateful to the Lord that I have woken up for another day. I'm so grateful that I have this precious human form of life, which is the greatest gift for practicing self-realization. I can get out today, out of my own little world, and make a determined effort to not waste my time today. I'm going to use my energies and my talents wisely to develop my own spiritual life and to help others as a compassionate friend to move on. I feel in this a little affirmation, a lot of wisdom is there. These things remember us or remind us that we have this precious human form of life, this precious time ahead of us. We can use it for our own spiritual progress and also to be of help for others in their life. Imagine how God, how Krishna looks at all of us. He looks at us with compassion. He gives us air to breathe. He gives us space to think. And he is every day ready to forgive us our minor and major mistakes and to accept us. A compassionate person tries to look at the world with divine vision, with these qualities. and not with a material vision where he judges others. It was a genuine pleasure for me to share my own practice with you each Tuesday. All what we have done on these Compassion Tuesdays can be found online and in my YouTube channel. I especially recommend the last three sessions, which were all on building compassion, strengthening our compassion. But I hear different people who come back to me say they got something out of this session or that session. It's a totally individual. And see you all for Compassion Tuesday in September after the summer pause. I will still be active on the social medias with other programs. You can find them on my Facebook page. All the best for you, and keep the compassionate spirit alive in your heart. All the best.